Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about the art of being human. That is to face all of the parts of ourselves that we find uncomfortable or hard to talk about or hard to even grapple with, to be quite honest. If you enjoy this show, the best compliment you could give me is to give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to the show, or to share the message or to share the show with your Instagram following or with somebody that you think the show might resonate with. In addition, if you want to engage more with my content, more with my work, you can do that at rickalexander.com, or you can check out my new book, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, which is available on Amazon in all formats. Without further ado, on to the show. So my brother Angelo Sisco and I are putting a workshop together for men about getting out of darkness. And the only reason it's for men specifically is because obviously we're both men and we've had to compete and deal with our own darkness so much in both of our lives. And I think to some degree that's kind of one of the penalties you get for being a passionate human being, right? Because the passions are up and the passions are down. And so you end up seeking the extremes in life in some way. But at the same time, we're both very self-reflective. And so I don't know if I've ever gone through anything that I didn't write about from as many different angles as I could possibly write about it. And so what that means, I think, is that we at least have some things to offer that conversation. And I believe our world is succumbing to darkness on an individual level, though it's manifesting collectively. I think individually, we're all getting shrouded and consumed by our own darkness to such a degree that it's making it very difficult to be who we're actually here to be in the world. And so today, I wanted to introduce an idea. And okay, so to demystify darkness, I also just mean these moments of self-loathing, self-sabotage, like these inward spirals where you really don't you don't want to do anything in the world. You absolutely cannot step into who you're here to be because you're caving in on yourself. And then typically what happens is we add guilt and we add shame to those things. And so the cycles end up repeating themselves, right? Because guilt and shame don't help anything. You know, if your goal is to get out of darkness, shame is certainly not going to help that. Now you have it, you feel it, because deep down there's some part of you that feels like you deserve to actually be there, unfortunately. And what happens is unconsciously that keeps you there because you think you deserve it. And so you might not say that to yourself, but part of the reason that you consume by your own darkness is because you actually believe that that's what you deserve. What I want to do is I want to talk about helpful and unhelpful ways that this conversation even takes place. So as humans, we're meaning-making creatures. And what that means is that we have a value system. And so what that means is when we look out into the world, we project values on things. We say, well, that's good, that's bad, that's righteous, that's evil, you know, however we do it, however we've learned to cut the world up in our unique or specific way, we do that in order to add value to things so that we can understand them, so that we can feel safe where we are, yada, yada, all the reasons you do that. So when it comes to some of the things in our world that create darkness in our lives, like porn, alcohol, weed, there's a real big temptation to make those moral arguments. And so we look at them and we say, well, those things are inherently bad. And then we demonize the thing. And what we do when we do that is we perpetuate whatever it is we're talking about. And the reason being is because we project the problem from ourselves onto the thing. If porn is bad, for example, the problem's porn. It's not with me. Except, of course, the problem's with me. And so the only place I'm actually going to be able to solve it is with me. Now, this also helps us not make really wide sweeping arguments, right? Because it might be that for you, for example, porn's not an issue at all. And I would say congratulations, right? Like, that's great. I'm not here to demonize things, as I'm saying. I'm just here to say, like, let's clean up our language around these things. Let's try to understand them better so that we can work through them in a productive manner. I always fall back to this idea that things in the world are not meant to be feared. They are meant to be understood. And if we can understand them, we can understand ourselves. And so first, one of the ways that we can take the value statement off of these darkness creating things in our lives, the things that keep us in these negative spirals, well, one of the things that all of these things have in common is that they hijack your neurochemistry. And so instead of talking about them as good or bad, one way we could talk about them is by the neural pathways that they use when we use them. And so all of the things that we're talking about today, they all hijack our dopaminergic pathways. I broke this down in my new book a little bit, but you know, dopamine gets compared to serotonin a lot because dopamine is pleasure, right? So it's associated with pleasure-seeking things. We get it from gambling. We get it from likes on Instagram. We get it from marijuana. We get it from porn. And then serotonin is more what you would think about actual like lasting joy. It's more like lasting satisfaction. And so those two things are contrasted and each have an evolutionary and biological imperative within ourselves, right? You actually need them both. You wouldn't want to demonize them if you actually understood what they do. And you could think about some simplistic ideas here too for why dopamine could be important, because you get it when you create something, you get it when you have sex with somebody. Like there are very biological, there are drives at play here that continue to push our species forward. Just use creativity and sex. Like we absolutely have to have both of those things. If we don't have creativity, we will fall under the tyranny of the past. And so what that means is when things create a dopaminergic response, they actually motivate you to them. There's something in you that says you should go get those when you don't have them. And if that were used in a natural way, it wouldn't be that much of a problem. The problem is, as a species, we've never been in a place where we have all of the sex that's ever existed right in front of us at our keyboard, right? And so these pathways are being hijacked. And so something that else is interesting to know here too is that it requires more and more in order for you to feel the same effect, right? And everybody that's ever messed with any kind of like sort of addictive substance knows this, right? Because what addiction is it's a narrowing of what excites you. And so that's why you end up on page 174 of Pornhub, right? That's exactly why. Because your dopaminergic pathways have been hijacked. And so you're just seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking. Yesterday, we talked about how there's like an unlived life within you. Well, you know what makes it really hard to know your unlived life? When you have a narrowing of what excites you in the world. Because your excitement, the thing that tells you, whoa, that's cool, I really like that, the things that inspire you, those are here to guide you, but they can't, right? Because they're being hijacked by these things that exist in our world today. So it's becoming really hard to know ourselves because things that hijack our dopaminergic response system are narrowing what excites us. And so we have less that is actually exciting us. And the problem is, though, that dopamine, because it's not the thing that gives you fulfillment, the problem is we're not fulfilled. And so we keep seeking and we keep seeking and we keep seeking. And then when we add a value statement to that thing, like that's a bad thing or, right, it's whatever, it's wrong. The problem then becomes that we add guilt and shame on top of it. And now we're in a negative cycle. So guilt is like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. That's a bad thing to do. And then shame is like, oh, I'm bad because I did that. And so you can see how these things will spiral because unconsciously you're going to feel like you deserve to be in this negative situation. And so they feed off each other. So not only do you have the dopamine, which is hijacking your actual neurochemistry and driving you towards something and making it really hard for you to think straight in like a very literal way, you also have the emotional response system layered on top of that because you're a meaning-making creature and because you have a value system that's keeping you stuck there. Because you might not say, I'm a piece of shit and I deserve to be here. But the thing to understand about your awareness is that you're self-aware. So you're not just looking out at the world. You're also looking back at yourself constantly. And so you know when you do something that falls outside of your own value system, and then you shame yourself for it. And so the unconscious program that's running there is I deserve to be here. Plus you're driven to be there by your own biology. And so what I would say is open up to the idea that these things aren't bad. It's the right impulse, but the wrong ritual. Now, when I say these things, please know that I mean whatever your particular things are. I don't want to, again, I do not want to demonize things in a broad way. What I want to say is that they are all tools. They all can be used in certain situations, and they all can hijack your neurochemistry in very fast ways, ways that can spin out of control in really quick ways, especially when we add our own value system on top of those. Plus, you know, because we're self-aware, we keep ourselves there. And so the thing to understand is this impulse you have to have sex, right? This impulse you have, alcohol is like a good one because it makes you want to lose your inhibitions. And that might not be such a bad thing, right? Maybe you're so rigid living a life that's not your own, or living up to rules that are not your own, or, you know, whatever it is. We all have these like really good reasons for wanting to relax, because you can want to relax, but it becomes a problem. Even if the impulse is right, if the ritual is wrong, right? Sex is another one. We've talked about that. You have a biological imperative to have sex. Having sex is one of the things that makes being in this world actually worth being in this world. Right? There's no doubt about it. But if that gets expressed or manifested in your life with the wrong ritual, what you might find is that it's taking more from you than you're willing to pay. And this is precisely how we know it's the wrong ritual, because there are things that we do that are life-affirming, that inspire us, that breathe life back into us, that make us feel good about who we are. And then there are other things that are life-taking, right? They actually take more of us and more of us. And this is why if you see somebody that's been on drugs for a really, really long time, like, I mean, addicted to drugs in some way, they're not themselves anymore. Like, who they are has been, over time, just taken more and more and more. And so it might have been that they had the right impulse and the wrong ritual. And now we're 20 years down the road, and because the ritual took from them and didn't give to them, they're in a position where they're pretty far from who they actually are. And all of your impulses, like, they're all rooted in very good and real things. Our creative impulse, our impulse for sex, our impulse for joy and pleasure, like, all of these things are here for us, right? This is our life. We're here. We have the right to enjoy our lives while we're here. But if we take that right and we express it in ways that take from us, that doesn't feel like winning to me. That feels like we're losing. And so open up to the idea that maybe the darkness that you're finding yourself encompassed in, maybe it's the right impulse, but it's being expressed wrongly. How better could that ritual be expressed? Now, the last thing I'll say about this is, if we're talking about an actual like dopamine generating activity, you've got your work cut out from you, right? Because that motivation is going to get entrenched. And so the longer you do it, the more it's going to be there. And so you can think you start to get away from it. It's like a rubber band. It's pulling you back, right? And so every time you stop that thing for a while, it'll work for a bit and then it'll yank you back. And so you actually have to sit in that tension until the rubber band breaks. And then, I mean, you kind of have to sit in it forever, right? Because it'll never cease to be a pleasure thing. It'll never cease to be a dopaminergic inducing activity. And so in some sense, if you ever go back to it, it will always be there. And then that dopamine, that rush will be there. But you sit in the tension of not getting the thing, right? Which is not getting the thing that your biology is fucking craving. That's the thing to know. It's really difficult to do. But if you do it, if you can do it for long enough, that rubber band will break and you'll no longer be attached to that thing that feels like it's taking from who you are. Just something to think about. If you're interested in these ideas, please check out this workshop on February 25th. I will link it up in the show notes of this episode. Angelo is a coach, and so he actually has a system for when you get in this darkness, how do we complete the cycle quicker so that we can get back to who we're here to be. But very much in the same vein of, look, we're not here to demonize things. We're here to have real conversations about what's helping our lives, what's taking our lives. Doesn't matter what your particular darkness is. What matters is that you stop believing the lies and find the light. That's been my experience anyway. I love you guys. Have an amazing day. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.